So today, what I want to do is share some helpful things for us to consider as we start 2020. We're going to unpack three things this morning, and I want to just kind of warn you real quick. The first one is the majority of it. So like 20 minutes from now, when you're going, oh my gosh, he just covered the first one and it's been 20 minutes. The last two are going to go quick, I can assure you. But here's what we're going to unpack this morning. Pace problems, priority shifts, and purposes fulfilled. So we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at these things by taking a look at the life of two sisters, Martha and Mary, or Mary and Martha. Now, Mary and Martha are the sisters of Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead in John chapter 11. And we'll look at that here in just a wee bit. But they're not just the sisters of Lazarus. They are also the very close personal friends of Jesus. They're not part of the multitude that followed Jesus. They are part of the inner circle of Jesus. They are very, very personally attached to him. Now we get introduced to them in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 and 39. Luke 10, 38 and 39. It says, now it happened as they went that he, Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So right away, here we go. We're introduced to Mary and Martha. Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. And you have to get this right away because it starts off this character sketch of her entire life. She is the first one to the door. Martha is the woman. I know I'm going to say chick. I might as well just get it out right now. I live with Sarah Berger. I'm going to say chick. Martha is the chick who is going to get things done. She's going to be on the job. She's going to be up and at him and the first one to answer the door. And so I don't want us to pass over this simple little phrase that Martha was the one who did what? Welcomed Jesus into the house. But then it tells us about Mary. Mary also, meaning Martha was part of it, but Mary also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, for these two sisters, that's about where the comparison ends. They both sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. But here's the thing about Martha, y'all. Martha didn't seem to get it. Martha didn't seem to really understand what Jesus was trying to communicate. Yes, she sat at his feet and heard his word, but it never really clicked with her. Now, I also have to say up front, I'm not picking on Martha specifically. I'm not picking on women in general. I am talking about characteristics that find themselves in every single one of us, regardless of what our name or gender is. As I'm talking about Martha, I'm talking about Mark at the same time. We're talking about something that gets inside of us and causes us problems if we don't pay attention to it and root it out. So Mary and Martha both sat at Jesus' feet, but Martha just didn't seem to get it. Now, Steve, why would you say something so unkind like that? Well, because the scripture kind of indicates that. The next few verses, Luke 10, 40 and 41. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. You know, when you get the double name, it's usually not good. I mean, Mary at the garden got Mary, Mary. That was good. But in this situation, after saying what you just said, and you get the double name, Martha, Martha, uh-oh. There's some tone on that right there. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Verse 40, Martha's distracted with much serving. And I find it interesting that this word for distracted in the Greek literally means that she's drug all around. She's not just distracted like, oh, what? Like, part of who she is as a person, she gives herself to be led around and drug around for every single thing that's out there that's vying for her attention. She's distracted with much serving. She's a busybody. She lacks composure and tact. She is addicted to activity without advancing. She has thought in and of herself. So long as she is moving, she's making progress. And beloved, that's not the case. You can be busy going nowhere. That would describe Martha. So she's distracted with much serving. It gets worse than that. It says then that she approached Jesus. Again, the disadvantage of not understanding the Greek language and looking this, friends, is what Bible commentators refer to as an explosive act. She just didn't approach Jesus. Hey, Jesus. She exploded on him. She got in Jesus' face. She got in Jesus' grill. And what does she say to him? Don't you care? Could you imagine talking to Jesus like this? Don't you care? She's so frazzled and frustrated that she's accusing the Son of God himself of being non-caring. I can't imagine being in that kind of place. But friends, listen to me. When we live distracted, drug all around by every whim of society and problem and conspiracy, we end up right there. It is as if we volunteer to start acting this way. So she's distracted and approaches Jesus aggressively and then accuses him of not caring. And then she goes from there and moves on to her sister. Don't you care that my sister has left me alone to serve here? Self-pity extraordinaire. I'm the only one, like Elijah. I'm the only one left that's serving you, Lord. And at the same time, throwing her sister under the bus, belittling her sister. And then she moves into the next level of spiritual depravity. And she tries to take control of the situation because Jesus surely isn't. She's going to take control of the situation and tell Jesus to tell my sister to come and help me. Dude. Like, just two things about this real quick. Number one, these attributes are a recipe to remain single. This chick's single for a reason, y'all. Number two, this is what can happen when you sit at Jesus' feet, but you don't really get what he's trying to tell you. We can act like this. We can become Marthas. Verse 41, what's Jesus' response to this outrage? Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. Think about this, worried. Was there anything more repeated in the Sermon on the Mount than don't worry? Nothing. The most repeated thing throughout the whole Sermon on the Mount, Jesus in John chapter 6, four different times, don't worry about this, don't worry about that, don't worry about this, don't worry about that. And she heard it, but she didn't hear it. And so she's worried. Contrary to what she heard, she's a worried person. She's anxious and explosive and uptight. She's worried, but she's also troubled. And she's worried and troubled about many things. She's got inward anxiety and she has outward agitation. And as I'm unpacking her life, as much as I don't want to be like critical of her, I'm just going, man, I don't know if there's ever been a more timely, better picture of what I've seen the bride of Christ act like in 2020. Inward anxiety and outward agitation. Martha, the wording on this is interesting. It stands out to me. Martha does much serving, and she's troubled with many things. Martha is a much and many kind of person, and it's hurting her, and it's hurting people around her because she's a much and a many person. And she's going to be the first one to the door, and she's going to be the first one to confront Jesus, and she's going to be this, and she's going to be that, and she's going to throw her sister under the bus, and she's going to accuse. Like, I get tired just reading this about her. It's like, whew. Sit down for a minute, sis. Hold on. Martha, friends, is subject to the tyranny of the urgent. Other people's irresponsibility becomes her emergency every time. She's going to go and get involved and speak up and say something and do something. She's just going to be in it all. And yet she's so distracted and worried and troubled with the lesser things that she misses out on the greater things. She sits at Jesus' feet a little bit, but then schedules herself into hypertension. Busy, but not fruitful for the kingdom. The fact of the matter is, friends, Martha has a pace problem. A pace problem. Now you'd go, well, say, Steve, well, it sounds like she's got a real heart problem. Like, that's the issue. Listen, every sin is a heart problem, is a heart issue. But I'm just saying, as we look at her life, she's got a pace problem. She's like in and at it and after and going and speaking and thrashing and carrying on like that fast. She's totally out of pace and out of rhythm with the flowing of the Spirit of the living God. She's got a pace problem, friends. And so do many of us. A little bit of sitting at Jesus' feet, but a lot of non-spiritual, non-kingdom, non-priority, non-essential activity. We have scheduled ourselves such little time for what really matters that for some of us, even when we get around to doing what really matters, we end up doing it with a heart and a mind like Martha. Sometimes we only think, well, okay, I'm at church and here I am. And I can't believe he's saying this on the first Sunday. This should be something a lot happier today. I brought my neighbor and my neighbor's never going to come back. Pace problem. Too much time for things that don't really matter, and not enough time for what really does, so that when we actually then do participate in things that really matter, we can do it with angst in our heart and angst in our minds. That's Martha, man. That's what she shows us. And like, I don't read that and go, you know, oh my gosh, I can't, like, why would Jesus even want to be her friend? I look at that and go, I can relate. I can relate over 35 years of following Jesus, there have been moments, hours, I hope not seasons, of operating in some of the characteristics of Martha. I don't read her and shame her. I read her and go, man, thanks for helping me look in the mirror. Before I expose Martha much more, I want to jump to John chapter 11. We'll come back to Luke chapter 10 in just a minute, but I want to jump to John chapter 11, verse 5, and I love the simplicity of this. John 11, 5, it just simply says, now Jesus loved Martha. Whew. That gives me hope. Jesus loved Martha. And see, that was actually written chronologically after the faux pas of Luke chapter 10. So it wasn't like he said, hey, I love her, and then she did all this stuff and goes, whoa, I wish I wouldn't have said that. No, she was a train wreck. And the scripture says Jesus loved her. Because Jesus loves all explosive, distracted, worried, troubled, accusing, self-pitying, belittling, controlling believers. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Now let me unpack some of this story in John chapter 11. I want to encourage you to read it all. It's interesting, but just looking at the spirit that seems to have gotten on so many of us. This is, of course, the events surrounding Lazarus' death. And if you remember, Lazarus was sick and Jesus got word that his friend was sick and he withheld from going to see him because Jesus wanted to prove that he couldn't just heal a sick body, but that he could raise a dead one. And so he waited for 4 days and, you know, there's this tension and turmoil there. And so Jesus finally then goes and is gonna show up in town. John chapter 11, verse 20, just going down a few verses here, it says, now, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went to him. But Mary, there she is, that lazy, no good for nothing, sitting in the house. There she is, sitting again. Martha runs, and Mary sits. The next verse. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Oh, isn't she lovely? Accusation, nothing like it. Guilt from a Jewish woman, there's nothing like that. We go down a few verses later. After Jesus had talked to her about his plan and what he was gonna do, it's like she didn't hear any of it. Verse 28, and when she'd said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. Mark Bright, you and I like to discuss these kind of passages where it's just like, what? She secretly went and called her sister. And said, the teacher said, hey, he wants to see you. Well, there's no record that Jesus said that he wanted to see her. So why did she then go secretly? Because she's a manipulating witch. And she knows Jesus didn't say anything. And so she can't go with a bunch of other people who also know that Jesus didn't say anything. She's got to go secretly and say, hey, you know, I was just with Jesus and he's asking for you. What's in all of that? Because Mary, you know, he's not doing what I want him to do, so maybe I can go through you, Mary, to get Jesus to do what I want him to do. Any of my old Catholics out there can say amen to that. Hey, Mary, you can help Jesus do what I want him to do. Told you I'd about offend everybody this morning. Yeah, and my neighbor's a Catholic too. manipulating people to try to get the outcome that you want because you haven't sat and listened to Jesus long enough or deep enough to hear and to trust that he really is in charge. So let me take control of this and do something to fix it. They take Jesus then after his request, they take him to the grave there of Lazarus. And in verse 39, Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And of course, Martha has something to say. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he's been dead for 4 days." I want to remind you that in verses 25 and 26, Jesus has already told her, "I'm the resurrection and the life. He who lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? She, "Yeah, Lord, I believe. I know he's going to rise at the end." It's just like she doesn't hear it. So all she can do in this moment is doubt and be negative and complain. The Son of God is standing there. The miracle worker is standing there. He said, "I'm going to do something." He instructs him to take away the stone. And all she can do is doubt and complain and be negative. This is what happens when we don't sit at Jesus' feet and really hear who he is and what he wants to do. Mary has a pace problem that causes her to be explosive and distracted, worried, troubled, accusatory, self-pitying, belittling, controlling, and let's add to the list, manipulative, doubting, negative, and complaining. Yikes! And Jesus loved Martha. I said Mary, I meant Martha. Jesus loved Martha. So there's a pace problem there. And now it's time for a priority shift. Time for a priority shift. We need to go back to Luke chapter 10 and finish that story real quickly. So Martha, Martha, man, you're worried and troubled about many things. And he says in verse 10, or chapter 10, verse 42, he said, "But one thing is needed." I actually gave serious thought this morning to how many times I was going to ask you all to repeat that little phrase, "One thing is needed." And I landed on 3 times. So here you go. Number one, would you all say, "One thing is needed"? One thing is needed. Jesus says to the distracted, uptight, explosive, busybody, anxious, worried, and troubled, "Hey, there is one thing that is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, and it's not going to be taken away from her. Choose the one thing that's needed." And that one thing that's needed is to sit and to hear Jesus' word, to really sit and to really hear. Choose the one thing. Sometimes I struggle with the one thing. Sometimes I slip into being like Martha and say, "Well, I've kind of done the one thing long enough. Now let me take charge." I'm not saying there's not a time to get up like Mary finally did and move and do something, but we got to get up and move when Jesus calls and not out of fear, frustration, and anxiety. Too much just carnal, fleshly responses to things. Too much Martha and not enough Mary. One thing is needed. I wonder if Jesus was thinking about David's psalm in Psalm 27, verse 4, when he said one thing. What did David say? Psalm 27, 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord. He said, that's what I'm gonna seek. I wanna dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I wanna behold the beauty of the Lord, and I wanna inquire in his temple. There's one thing, David said, that I wanna do. I wanna get in God's presence. I wanna dwell in his house. I want to behold him. I want to meditate on. I want to consume. I want to understand. I want to marinate in who he really is. And I want to inquire. I want to ask. I want to listen for an answer. I want to have a real relationship. I want to really communicate with the eternal God. I want to answer the call to one. Just one thing. God, I want to know you. I want to be known by you. Matthew 6:33, we're talking about a priority shift. But seek what? First the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And everything else, all these other things that we're wanting and striving for and trying to make happen in our own strength. He said, everything else is gonna be added to you. The problem is we don't really believe that. What our lives say, not what our mouths say, but what our lives say is, you know, seek 3rd, 4th, 5th, 10th, 20th, 30th, the kingdom of God. But everything in front of that, I got it. I got it myself. And we're frustrated. And we're anxious. And we're fearful. And we're wondering why things aren't going our way. And what do I have to do to fix it and change it and be in charge? I wonder what would happen in 2021 if we would really be a people who just say, you know what? I'm going to so shift my priorities that I'm gonna do the one thing. And when in that context of relationship and communication, when God tells me to move, I'm gonna move then. And I'm not gonna run around, and I'm not gonna be a busybody, I'm not gonna be anxious, and I'm not gonna fret and be frenzied and frustrated. I'm not gonna schedule myself into hypertension. I'm gonna get in the flow and the pace of what Jesus is guiding, leading, and directing me to. I'm telling you all, if we could do that, we would find supernatural expression meeting us at every obedient turn. We would find Jesus doing things in us and through us that are beyond anything that we've ever come up with in our own strength. We need to hear afresh that it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. So we got to choose that. Jesus said Mary chose that. She chose the one thing. It's a choice for us to sit at his feet and to hear his word. And then he makes everything else come to pass. He downloads love in us so that we can love other people, so that we can experience his love. He gives us joy so we can be strong, peace so we can be composed, patience so we can endure, kindness so that we can influence others, goodness so we can reflect Jesus, faithfulness so we can stand, gentleness so we can comfort, and self-control so we can remain focused. He'll add these things to us if we'll be faithful to do the one thing he asks us to. Finally, purpose fulfilled. Purpose fulfilled. If I was to ask you Y'all, what's our purpose? I mean, for real. As followers of Jesus, is there a summary? Is there something somewhere that just says, hey, here's what this whole Jesus thing, Pastor Chris, is all about? Is there a summary somewhere? Sure there is. It's found in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. Someone asked, teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two things, on these two commandments, hang all the law and the prophets. What's our purpose? Love God and love people. That's the purpose that we need to fulfill. Love God and love people. How do I love God? I sit at his feet and I hear his word and I fulfill the one thing that he asked me to do. And it is in the context of that relationship that he then gives me the ability to love other people, even my enemies. I don't want to start a whole nother message, but you know, we never get a pass from loving people that we perceive are our enemies by doing something else that we deem as being noble. Are we communicating this morning? I hope so. And so, beloved, let's never lose sight of what our purpose is. Love God, love people. We do that by having our priorities in place. And we shift our priorities wherever it needs some adjustment. We got to seek God first, dwell in his presence, sit at his feet, hear his word, behold his beauty, inquire in his temple. And then we're going to fulfill our purpose by having our pace in line with what our priorities are. Where we've got a pace problem, we're going to have a priority problem. That's why we need a priority shift right there. And when we shift our priorities, then what's going to happen? We're going to have our purpose fulfilled. That's how this thing is going to work. So I'm just going to close today by saying, I don't know what 2021 holds. I think we're in for a wild ride in a whole bunch of different ways. But I know this, and this isn't Christianese religious pablum. The darker, the crazier it gets out in that world, the easier it is for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to shine. And I plan on shining in 2021. I plan on sitting at Jesus' feet. I plan on hearing his word. I plan on moving when he says move. I reject the arm of the flesh and the frustration of my fallen nature. I want to be like Mary and not like Martha. God bless Martha. Jesus loved her. I want to be like Mary. Can I get an amen from somebody? Amen. Well, let's stand and pray together now and ask Jesus to help us. Everybody online, wherever you're watching, we're all in this together. Let's pray together right now. Neighbor of the friend that brought you, if you're comfortable, would you even just put your hands out a little bit? Do you pray with us? In humility, we say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we choose the one thing, to sit at your feet and to hear your word and to move when you direct. Lord, we're here because all of us need to be way more like Mary and a whole lot less like Martha. Holy Spirit, would you forgive us as we've prayed already? Would you anoint us, empower us, enable us to live this year at a much higher level, spiritually speaking, than we've ever lived before. God, give us courage and boldness to stand for what's right. But God, help me and God, help us to do it in a way that is honorable and in line with the fruits of the Spirit. God, help us. God, help your church. God, save America. January 3rd, 2021, we choose one thing. Only one time. Would you say that with me? We choose one thing. One thing for 21. Lord, we choose this one thing. In Jesus' name, God, by your Spirit, in us and through us, in Jesus' name. Amen, family. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I'm going to ask for your prayers this week. I'll be in Washington, D.C. this Tuesday through Friday. I've got some interesting meetings to attend, and I would just appreciate your prayer cover. God bless you mightily. We'll see you all very soon. God bless.